I am Linda's maternal grandmother, born soon after the turn of the century. lived on a small farm with all the usual hard hand work. My family consisted of two sisters and my parents. We lived in Whitefoot Township. Dad's occupation was farming, and as we had no brothers, we had to help. Our dad was all with the farm work, as well as mother with the housework. We sold some of our products that we raised, such as maybe beans, potatoes, eggs, butter, chickens, pork, and most of the work was done by hand or some, of course, with the help of two horses. I went to a one-room rural school, and in my early years, there were many large boys that came only in winter, and so our enrollment was often around 40, or maybe as many as 50. Incidentally, Linda's dad and uncle attended the same school many years later, but now it has been torn down. Those early families were self-sufficient by growing their own vegetables and fruits, their own chickens for meat and eggs, as well as growing pigs for pork, from which my dad made sugar-cured hams and smoked them. He also made hand-smoked sausage and liver sausage, head cheese, and preserved fat meat in a salt brine, which today is called salt pork. We also rendered our own minced lard. I worked 1 year after marriage and school. Then in the coldest part of the winter, we often bought a quarter of beef from a neighbor. So we had steaks, roast, but the best of all was the vegetable soup that mother made. This and other good things when we came in after a mile or more of walking home from school in the cold weather filled the house with good smells. On some days, it was homemade bread, sugar, or molasses cookies, apple pie from our own stored apples, good bean soup, mashed or baked potatoes, plenty of apples, grape or strawberry jelly to put on our fresh buttered homemade bread. Life seemed simple compared to present day. We had no electricity, therefore no running water, no radio, TV, or hi-fi, no automatic washers and dryers, or electric irons, mixers, toasters, sweeteners, refrigerators, or freezers, or supermarkets, or large department stores. So the housewife had to cook, sew, mend, wash, iron, and often make soap and homemade clothes, and sewed as well as dyed carpet bags for large rooms. We always had something to do when we came home from school and in the summertime. We also had time to play or read. I guess I had progressive parents, for we owned a phonograph or gramophone with a collection of possibly 50 records. My dad would often play a few favorites for company. We also had a new upright piano by the time I was 10 years of age. My dad also would play a mouth organ at times for our enjoyment. After completion of my first 8 years in a rural school, one room all grades, my dad thought I ought to go to high school, not as others did, to our neighboring small town. Of course, we didn't have a car for transportation, but I entered Scott High School in Toledo. Often in flight, when younger, we, the sisters and some cousins played school, and I had to be the teacher. So, on completing high school, I went on to become a teacher and taught 8 years in Toledo. I met my husband during these years in Toledo. He was related to some of our country neighbors, and my mother knew his folk. Gave her approval. And so we were married in the summer of 1929, just before the Great Depression. We moved from Toledo back to Michigan on one of his parents' farms, a small one, but family owned since 1852. His father and my husband were both born in the old brick house. Linda's mother was born in 1931, and she had a brother in the summer of 1935. Of course, we had our ups and downs and worries during the Depression years, but our early years as farm children gave us know-how and courage to manage. I worked 1 year after marriage, and so did my husband. We bought 2 horses, a used truck, a new Model A Ford car, and some used tools. With his and my parents' help, we managed through the trying years. Going to Toledo wholesale market at times was discouraging and not very rewarding. If you sold your potatoes, you probably received 35 cents a bushel, or 3 for $1. And if you didn't, you took it home and tried again another day. The Depression finally ended. And my husband was back in the factory off and on. The children were growing, and in 1943, I went back to teaching in our own rural school with the first 4 grades. Later, we consolidated the whole township into a big system, which now has about 6,000 children. Then, in June 1953, we had a destructive tornado, lost everything. But we had a bed. My husband didn't even have a pair of shoes on his feet. But at a time like that, one really finds out the generosity of the neighborhood and surrounding area. Everyone was so thoughtful and generous. So, we have lived here for 48 years. Both children are married, and I have 9 bubbly grandchildren.
About some of your holidays, such as Christmas or 4th of July when you were a child?
Well, 1/4 of July in particular, we really had a holiday. The family hitched the horse to the buggy and traveled to a small grove on a lake. Here, a ball game was being played, which Dad used to enjoy. We also could, and did, take a rowboat out for a ride on the lake. This was all topped off by spending our nickel for dimes for homemade lemonade or ice cream. And then on Christmas, we spent our Christmas with my paternal grandparents. But that didn't seem to be the fun because there weren't enough cousins. Then on New Year's, we went to my mother's parents, which was a big family. Lots of aunts and uncles and cousins. Lots of food. The bad part of it was that the children were the last to eat. And were really stunned by the time it was our turn. But in the meantime, we amused ourselves with card games, such as Old Maid or Pig. Or Bed Toy, I don't know how you spell that.
Tell me about one of your first automobiles.
Well, as my dad never owned a car, I remember a real outstanding ride. A salesman from Brookfield came and picked us up and took us to his store in Blissfield, and my dad bought the upright piano. And then he took us home again. That was really a memory for us.
Do you have any interesting stories or facts about your ancestors?
And made a long, hazardous trip across the ocean, and this trip took 6 weeks. My grandmother had left Germany with a young man with her clothes in his trunk. But on the boat, she met another young man that she knew from a neighboring county or whatever they were called. And she must have had some differences with the first young man, so she transferred her clothes to the second young man's trunk. And this is one that turned out to be my grandfather. Then my maternal grandparents had their origins as French Canadians, but have been over here for a long, long time, all settling in the area around Monroe, Erie, Whitebridge, Deerfield. And my auntie, so-called.
Do you have any comparisons or ideas of the so-called good old days?
Well, as I said, the families in those days were self-sufficient, and by growing so much of their own product for their own family use, and so they had to buy very little from the stores that were, the neighborhood stores that were. In our case, we had 2 stores, about each one in different directions, a mile and a half from where we lived. And in the summer, I can remember doing for my mother a certain basket that we had that would hold about 3 or 4 dozen of eggs, and I would take these eggs and walk to the store and return with coffee or sugar, a pound of coffee and I suppose 5 pounds of sugar. And as a reward, I was allowed to buy 1 stick of white gum, which today I would have considered paraffin, I guess. And then too, I think that we are living in a wonderful age. I feel that all people have wonderful opportunities today. For instance, in our senior citizens, we have adult groups in education, and they are so enthused about their classes. And our last year was the first year that we had one lady to graduate she got her high school diploma, and she was so thrilled. So others took it upon themselves to enter for this year and to continue their education. Also, then, at one hall where we go to have fun, playing cards, there are these little preschoolers that come in on buses. And everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but some people do remark that seems to me that those children are better at home with their mothers. And this looks to me more, I'm quoting now, looks to me more like a babysitting job than a real teacher. But actually, it isn't, because children are learning to get along with each other. They're learning muscular control in using paintbrushes, materials that they're not familiar with. And wouldn't have the opportunity of using in their homes. Then our older people in school, especially our high schools and junior colleges, have wonderful opportunities to do things for themselves and to get a real good life set up for themselves if they will apply themselves.
Tell me about some of your experiences with the World Wars, such as World War I. What do you know about that?
Well, really, I can remember a cousin of mine who had, a country cousin, who had a job in Toledo, and he boarded and roomed in our house for a time, and then he was drafted into the service, was in the infantry, and was in France, I believe it was, and would write, well, at first he was in Camp Chillicothe, then later was sent to France, and he would write letters, and I would write back, because he was terribly lonesome, but was pretty busy, I think, most of the time, and his being of French descent, he had heard the, even though he didn't talk French, he had heard the his elders talk enough that he could understand. And so when his unit would need supplies, they would take him along to help them with their purchases in France. And that's about the only person that I had any experiences with that.
How about World War II? Like,
But I do remember the end of that war, which was the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th hour. I was in Scott High School, and we were dismissed. For the time of year, it was a nice day, and as we came out on the walks, down to the street level walks, we could hear all the whistles of the factories in Toledo blowing, and the church bells were ringing. Everybody seemed to be so happy over this the ending of that war.
How about some experiences with World War II?
Well, World War II, my husband had a nephew. I think that was in Germany, wasn't it? The Battle of the Bulge. And that walk across the country. And he did tell us some of his experiences. He and along with some of his cousins' husbands were in service at that time. They weren't all on the land. One was in the Navy, and I guess one was in the Army, and I think his branch of service was a Marine at the time.
Do you remember, like, the bombing of Pearl Harbor when you found out about it?
That was another shocking event. Somehow we didn't know about the event, and that day, the 8th of December, being a holy day, we were going to early services in the church, and as we got out of our car, somebody near us mentioned the fact of Pearl Harbor being bombed and how terrible it was, and so on. So that was the way we heard that news. Was it early in the morning, and it was probably like 5:30, and it was dark, of course, at that time of December. And it really upset us for the day, I think.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.